Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Today we are talking about treasure, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about what I think may be one of Canada's most famous treasure stories. And it starts in 1701 when Captain William Kidd, that's right, Billy Kidd, Captain William Kidd was sentenced for piracy in England and hanged. Good start, right? And as time went on, his crew also began to die off. One of them, reportedly on his deathbed, said that Captain William Kidd buried £2 million on an island in Canada, in Nova Scotia, called Oak Island. Not much happened with these rumors for decades, until a young man in 1799 named Daniel McGinnis found a depression in the ground on Oak Island. And remembering these rumors about the island, he garnered the help of a couple of his friends, and they began to dig at this depression. And they found it 2 feet down. They found a layer of flagstones, or flat stones. The operation got too big for the three of them, and in 1802, the Oslo Company took over. And as they dug down, they found that every 10 feet was a layer of logs carefully placed. At 90 feet down, they found a stone with strange writing on it that later was deciphered to read 40 feet below or £2 million buried. This stone went on display in Halifax. As they continued to dig down, the tunnel flooded with seawater, which is a rather strange phenomenon. So they dug a tunnel adjacent, and this also flooded with seawater. And this began rumors that the treasure that was buried below was protected by an elaborate booby trap system. Now the questions began to arise. Why would anyone go to this much trouble to bury treasure and so far down? What is it that they were hiding? And rumors about the Knights Templar being involved and the Masons being involved, and that they were hiding things as precious as the Holy Grail, the Lost Ark of the Covenant, Marie Antoinette's missing jewelry, lost manuscripts of William Shakespeare, and of course, Captain Kidd's £2 million. I remember reading about this treasure when I was a kid, a teenager in Reader's Digest, and it fascinated me. I thought, this is Canada's very own Treasure Island, and that's amazing. And of course, some of you may be aware that this is the subject of a television show right now called The Curse of Oak Island, if you want to follow the progress of people who are still trying to find the treasure. And their struggle is, where is the treasure? Where is it? Where is it buried? And of course, you being a very smart person know that this message is not about treasure on Oak Island. You realize that this is going to be about something else. The treasure we're talking about this morning is not it's not about something historical. It's not made of gold. It's not made of jewelry. But Jesus, in fact, sends us on a treasure hunt. And it has everything to do with anxiety. Of course, as we continue on our series, Overcoming Anxiety, the treasure that Jesus is speaking of is what we ultimately value, where our identity truly lies, the things that we hold the highest in our lives. And he sends us on this treasure hunt. And what we're going to learn today is this biblical principle: to gain life, give it away. To gain life, give it away. And where your treasure is can have a profound impact on your peace or your anxiety. Now, Jesus taught us about finding peace. And we looked at the first part of this passage on January 19th, where he talked about finding peace by looking at creation and looking at the birds and how God provides for the birds and that sort of thing. And so, this is like part B of that message, where he continues on to tell us how to find peace in our lives. And he starts off with these words, continuing on in the subject. He says, "So don't be afraid." So don't be afraid, little flock, he says. I just love how Jesus is so tender and compassionate towards us. So don't be afraid, little flock, he says, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. He reminds us that we don't need to be afraid. This is not something that God wants for us. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants instead to give us the kingdom. And worry, of course, is not new to the 21st century. This is something that people in the first century were dealing with, some things that they had to deal with that we basically don't have to deal with. They had to deal with worry about plague or crop failure or invasion by other countries or corrupt and unaccountable law enforcement, extreme violence and torture as law, slavery. There was no social programming. There was no health care. There was no education. You were basically on your own. They had all kinds of things to worry about that we don't have to worry about today. Yet we have found things to worry about. And in a recent CBC article, I read they had a survey of Canadians, and they found that 72% of Canadians worry about their future. 72, almost three quarters of the people in our church are worried about their future. Now, I hope that's not the case. I hope we're not, you know, the average, but as far as Canada goes, three quarters of Canadians are worried about their future. And get this, only 6% claimed to be optimistic about their future. And it's such a small sliver of our society that's actually optimistic about the future. And they found that a good percentage of those people were people who were new to the country. It's all perspective, right? People who are new to the country are much more optimistic about the future than those of us who've been here all our lives. And the thing that really interested me about this survey was the two things that were causing the most anxiety in Canada. Guess what they are? You would think, oh, it must be healthcare, or it must be jobs, or it must be even death. These are the things that we worry about the most. Actually, surprisingly not. The two things that topped the list of things that people were worried about were the cost of living and the environment. And to further be even more interesting to me is, amongst all the provinces in Canada, guess which province is the most worried about the cost of living? Right, it's BC. BC is the most worried province when it comes to the cost of living. Guess which province is the most worried about the environment? Again, BC. So BC is the most worried, anxious province in the country, according to this survey. You know, when I came to BC 3 years ago, I was told that BC stands for be chill. Because everyone in BC is so relaxed, so easygoing, right? I found out now, according to this survey, that's not the case at all. In fact, BC doesn't stand for be chill. Maybe it stands for more like borderline crying, or bankrupted calm, or beyond concerned, or boatloads of crises. BC is a worried, anxious province. And when Jesus talks about the Father giving us the kingdom, why did he connect the kingdom with not worrying? For those of you who are just joining us, or maybe you're just checking out Christianity, you're just checking out the church, and you're not too sure there's even a God at this point, you might not be aware of what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the kingdom. He's not so much talking about a place as he's talking about a state of relationship. See, the kingdom of God comes upon a person. It begins in a person's heart when they turn away from their sins and they turn to God. That is the beginning of the kingdom. The kingdom is wherever God reigns, wherever God reigns. And that starts in the hearts of people. And here's the gift that comes with that, because the kingdom is a kingdom of peace and calm and hope. And this is what God wants to give you. He wants to give you this kingdom of hope and peace and calm. Isn't that beautiful? And I'm so grateful that God is like this. By the way, if you're just checking out Christianity, because the perception is often God just wants us to be afraid. God just wants us to be scared and toe the party line because that's the way he wants us. He just wants us to be terrified. And here we find, no, God actually takes great pleasure in giving us the kingdom, in giving. That's amazing. And this is the kind of God that God is. So here Jesus is connecting, don't worry, with the kingdom. And that's because the kingdom is all about inner transformation, being born again, as Jesus put it, with God reigning with peace and calm and hope. So he continues on in this section from Luke 12, and he says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. Now, you might think, he just changed the subject. He went from, don't worry, God wants to give you the kingdom, and then he says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. Well, why did he change subjects so quickly, you might think? He finishes the thought with, this will store up treasure for you in heaven. Okay, so well, before we move on, I just want to make sure that you heard what I said correctly. Because Jesus didn't say, sell all your possessions and give to those in need. He said, sell your possessions and give to those in need. For sure, Jesus advocates us owning less and less stuff, becoming more and more generous, more and more simplistic in our lifestyle, for sure. But he didn't say, sell all your possessions, because if that was the case, then 2 to 3 billion Christians around the world would be on the street and be a burden to society. It wouldn't make any sense. So that's why Jesus, you know, of course, says, make sure that you're getting rid of your stuff and giving to those who don't have any, and this will store up treasure for you in heaven. So what is this treasure? What is this thing that Jesus is referring to, this treasure that you store up in heaven? Well, I'll be honest, I don't know. I've said before, I don't know. But I do know this. What the Bible, the writers of the Bible talk often, and Jesus spoke often about God rewarding those in the kingdom when all things come to an end. And I don't know what that treasure is going to be. I don't know what those rewards are going to be, but I do know they're going to be disproportionate to what we have done, and they're going to be better than anything that we can possibly imagine here on this earth. So here we have, this will store up treasure for you in heaven by giving away your stuff. Sell your possessions, give to those in need. And this is connected with don't be afraid somehow. But how is that possible? Well, he continues on. He says, he answers the question, why would you want to invest in the kingdom? Why would you want to get rid of your stuff now as an investment? Why would you want to give yourself away like that for the kingdom? And so he says, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. You know, they didn't have bank vaults and that sort of thing back then, so the idea of a safe investment sounded pretty good. But even today, we know that our bank accounts are one hack away from disappearing. We know that, you know, all our money, all our possessions, they can go away very quickly. A stock market crash, a change in politics, a new virus even, as we're finding, can change things quickly. So when Jesus is talking about a safe investment, believe me, people were listening. Like, where are we? How can we invest so that it's completely safe? And this is Jesus' point. An investment in the kingdom is secure. And then he says these very, very famous words. And even if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, you might have heard that he said these words. He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. He says, wherever your treasure is. It's not like you don't have treasure or you might not have treasure. You have treasure. Everybody has treasure. Everybody has something of ultimate value to them. Everybody. The question is, where is that treasure? Where is it? He said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Your heart, in Bible terms, is the center of your will. It's where you make your decisions. It is the center of your emotions. It determines so much of your next step. There the desires of your heart will also be. This is where Jesus sends us on a treasure hunt. And he's asking the question, where is your treasure? What do you value most? What do you live for? What is your identity? And he said, if your treasure is on earth, then you will be anxious. Because there's nothing that you can invest in on this planet that cannot be taken away from you. Nothing on this earth is stable or controllable by us. And you might be thinking, oh, come on, Pastor, really? Now you've gone too far. No, no, wait a second. Think about this for a second. Perhaps, let's say, your treasure, the thing that you value most, is your marriage, your spouse. Let's say that's the thing that you treasure the most. Well, as I've said before, the thing about marriage, you can't control it. You can't make your spouse want to keep being married to you. You can't keep it going on your own. It takes two to make a marriage. I have talked to so many people who desperately wanted to keep their marriage going and their spouse said no, and they got a divorce and there was nothing they could do about it. Well, maybe your greatest treasure is your children. You live for your children. Your decisions revolve around your children. Well, here's the thing about children. You can't keep them alive. You can't make them successful. You can't make them follow Jesus. There's really nothing we can make our kids do, especially as they get older and older. We lose that ability. We cannot control our children. It's an unsafe investment if they are their ultimate. I'm not saying you don't care about these things. Jesus is making the point, where is your greatest treasure? Where is the thing that you value the most in life? That is what you. That's where your heart will be. That is what your motivation will be. That's where your heart will take you. And Jesus is saying the only stable investment you can make is an investment in the kingdom. And you do that by giving yourself away, by giving yourself to others. And now we get to, the title of our message, The Cure for Anxiety in Care. And before I move on, the next thing I'm going to say requires a warning, because it's a tough thing to say, it's an even harder thing to hear, especially if you struggle with anxiety today. Now, I've said before in this series is not about picking on people with anxiety. Everybody has issues. All of us struggle with anxiety to one degree or another. Some of us a lot, some of us a little, but we all struggle with it. And maybe your main struggle is not anxiety, but I guarantee it's something else. So I'm not picking on people with anxiety. But here's the thing about anxiety, okay? I just wanted to warn you up front. The thing about anxiety is anxiety often occurs because of a preoccupation with self. Anxiety often occurs because of a preoccupation with self. Think about it. The more we think about ourselves, our needs, our wants, the things in our lives that we need to control, the more anxious we become. That preoccupation with self, when we're, and you might say, whoa, that's not true at all. Because I worry about things like my kids. I worry about my kids. Okay. All right. Stay with me for a second. Is it possible that your worry about your kids isn't all about your kids, but it's about how something happening to your kids will affect you? In other words, we think that we're worried about our kids for their sake, but we're really worried about our kids for our sake. And this, of course, happens when our greatest treasure is our kids. And we'll worry about whatever our greatest treasure is on this earth, because we realize there's nothing on this earth that we can control. There's nothing that is guaranteed. It is an unsafe investment. And here we get into a theme a paradox in Scripture where it looks to be contradictory, but it's actually not. And there's a thread of this particular paradox throughout the pages of the Bible. 1,000 years before Jesus, King Solomon wrote these words. He said, "Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." Proverbs 11:25. "Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." In other words, how do you, you know, get the squeeze the most out of life? By giving yourself away. "Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." And Jesus said, of course, famously, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The word blessed just means happy. It is brings greater happiness to give than to receive. And when our lives are just about us, we become miserable. Miserable. So other paradoxes in Scripture, you know, you receive when you give yourself away. You become wealthy when you deplete your riches. You are more cared for as you cared for others. You'll have your needs met when you meet the needs of others. If you humble yourselves, you'll be lifted up. If you want to become a great leader, you need to become a servant. All of these paradoxes in Scripture are things that Jesus taught and that the writers of the Bible kept pointing us to. And the one today that we're pointed to is to gain life, to gain a peaceful life, to gain a kingdom life, to gain life, give it away. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:19, and he says, some instructions to the rich, and this definitely applies to us in our context on Vancouver Island in 2020, because in the world standards, we are rich, rich, rich. So he writes to Timothy and he says, if you got rich people in your church, and you do, tell them this. He says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works, doing, and generous to those in need, giving, always being ready to share with others. Now, notice he talks about giving away time and money, giving themselves away. Why do this? And then he says these powerful words. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure. There's that word again. It says Jesus' principle as a good foundation for the future. Now watch this. So that they may experience true life. Oh, powerful stuff. Saying you want to experience true life on this planet, give yourself away. Invest in the kingdom. This is the best way to experience real life. And real life is not being twisted up in a ball of anxiety and worry. He says, give yourself away and free yourself from this worry. Take the focus off of yourself, your own worries, your own needs, and that way you find true life. Make a secure investment. There's no wonder that through the pages of the New Testament, we're told, serve one another, serve one another, serve one another. Become generous with what you have. Could it be that this isn't just God's way of making sure that the chores in the church get done, but it's actually the best thing for us personally? It is one of the greatest mental health, physical health, spiritual health activities we can do is give ourselves away. It's actually good for us to care for others. Now, I'm not suggesting workaholism as a distraction, but being genuinely moved to care about others, genuinely moved to action in this is true life, kingdom life. So what can we do? Three steps, three things. Jesus told us, invest your money in the kingdom. And of course, this includes the local church. Of course it does. But it also can include things like investing in helping the homeless, giving medicine to the sick, opportunity for employment. Today is Missions Sunday, and the offering is going to missions. This is an investment in the kingdom. Let me ask you, how much are you investing your money in the kingdom? Versus how much money are you investing in yourself, your pleasure, your activities, your wants? Invest your money in the kingdom. Be generous in the kingdom. And this way, Jesus said, you will be storing up treasures for the future.
and experiencing true life. So invest your money in the kingdom. Number two, invest your time. Invest your time in the kingdom. And I'm an avid reader, and I have seen in bookstores all kinds of books that say invest in yourself, invest in yourself, invest in yourself. This is the best investment you can make, is an investment in yourself. But this is not the kingdom economic principle. The kingdom economic principle is the best investment you can possibly make is an investment in others. Giving yourself away, giving away your time, giving away your money. This is kingdom economy. Invest in other people. This way you will experience true life. You will be investing in something that is secure. And finally, so invest your money in the kingdom, invest your time in the kingdom, and invest your thoughts in the kingdom. And I thought about this later, and I thought maybe this will include prayer as well. Invest your prayers in the kingdom. We think about ourselves the most. Other than God, no one thinks about ourselves more than we do. And this leaves us prone to worry because we think about things we can't control. But here are some thoughts that you can invest in the kingdom by asking yourself every day, how can I help someone today? What can I give away today to be of service to other people? With God's help, how can I expand the kingdom today? And here's the thing. The point of all of this is it's really difficult to worry about your own needs when you are focused on meeting the needs of other people. I'll say that again. It is really hard to be worried about your own needs when you are focused on the needs of others. But let's dig a little bit deeper, because there's something very powerful here that I'm just kind of dancing around, but now I want to spell it out. Because we get to a final question that I want to answer today, which is, why does God seem so interested in our giving ourselves away? Why is that so important? Why do the pages of Scripture keep coming back to being generous with our time, our thoughts, our money? What is with that? And simply put, this is the foundation of the kingdom. It is a founding principle of the kingdom, because the kingdom began by the Son of God giving himself away for you and for me out of love. Jesus said there is no greater love. Love is the foundation of the kingdom. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is a principle of the kingdom. And Jesus started this, and he expects his followers to follow in his footsteps. Now, we may not be called to give our physical lives away for others the way he did, but giving away our time, giving away our money, giving away our thoughts for the benefit of other people is certainly a kingdom principle that started with Jesus. And if you're here today and maybe you've never responded to what Jesus has done for you, Jesus died on a cross to pay for your sins and my sins. We all needed this. We cannot save ourselves. This is the good news. And the good news is this, is the kingdom is not for the religious elite. It's not for the best behaved. It's not for saintly superstars. It's for broken and hurting and sinful people who have hurt others just as I have and just as you have. It is open to everyone, everyone, including you. It's open to people who know they have done wrong, who trust in Jesus to save them. He died the death we should have died and lived the life we should have lived. And here's a simple prayer that you can pray if you want to start to invest in the kingdom. If you want to be part of the kingdom, here's a prayer you can pray right now, right where you're at. God, I want to invest in your kingdom. I believe Jesus died so that I could invest securely with you. I welcome the peace of knowing that you did it all for me, and that my place in the kingdom can never be taken from me. Thank you and amen. Caring for others takes the focus off of ourselves and it counters anxiety. It takes us off that preoccupation with ourselves where we become more aware of the needs around us and more aware of our place in God's economy to help those around us. Because God wants to help people through us. He wants us to invest our money, our time, our thoughts. And if you're not too sure where to begin, you don't know how to start by serving your church family. Even if you're not really part of the church family yet, or you don't feel like you're part of this church family yet, you can still serve here. There are people who need you. Fill out a Connect card. You can find them at the information desk. Just let us know, hey, I want to help serve. I want to start somewhere, but I don't know where to begin. And can you help me? We are happy to help you out with that. Again, it is harder to worry about yourself when you are caring for others. It is harder to worry about yourself when you are caring for others. To gain life, give it away. This is the principle of the kingdom. To gain life, give it away. And so we can invest in our needs or their needs. We can invest in the here or we can invest in there. We can invest in now or then. We can invest in things that are self-centered or other-centered. We can invest in things that just require me or the things that require God's grace. And where our treasure is will determine our level of anxiety. Are we investing in the kingdom? In the kingdom, being other-centered, giving away our time and our money and our thoughts, giving those things away, creates peace. When we are preoccupied with our own needs, how things affect us, our own sense of safety, our own sense of well-being, our own pleasures, we will be anxious because we cannot control any of those things. They are insecure investments. Where is your treasure today? Ask yourself that question. Follow your day timer. Where are you spending your time? Where are you spending your money? What are you thinking about most? This will tell you where your treasure is. And I am so grateful for the people in this church who continue to inspire me by showing me that they are continually investing in the kingdom, giving of their time and their money, their thoughts, their prayers into the kingdom. They want to see people saved. They want needs met. They want to heal the brokenhearted. They want to let people be free from their prison cells. They want people to be free in Jesus. They continue to invest in the kingdom day after day, week after week, because they want to invest in something secure. And as they are doing that, they are ridding themselves of the burden of anxiety, of worry, because they're focusing on other people. To gain life, give it away. It is hard to worry about yourself when you are caring for others.